You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Maynor Roberts. We've got a new serial starting today. Dead Queen Walking is the final installment of the Castle Charming series. You've missed a lot if you haven't listened to the previous stories, but if you want to catch up, start with Glass Slipper Scandal right here on the podcast, followed by Dance Princess Dance and Let Sleeping Princess Lie. You can also buy all three books in digital editions from any online retailer, or sign up for my Patreon with a $1 pledge and download all three of them straight away. So here we go. Dead Queen Walking. Chapter 1. Walk and Talk. Queen Ella of Charming did not sleep. Dennis wasn't sure if anyone had noticed. He never heard anyone gossiping about her behind her back in or around the castle. Fair enough, really. If there was a royal you did not want to be caught out by, it was the Queen. In the city, that was different. The people of Charming were obsessed with their return to Queen. They waved placards and threw confetti at her in the street. Half the small businesses in town had named themselves after her. She was beloved. She was a miracle. She was a sign that somehow their fortunes were changing. King Iolcus had not been popular. Tragic figure or not, he provided little encouragement for his people to love him over the last 17 years. His people taunted and maligned him in the press, blaming him for the wilder behaviour of his out-of-control sons, the scandalous elder Princess Charming. His beautiful absent queen, lost to a sleeping curse nearly two decades ago, was above the reproach of the people. If anything, King Iolcus had been tolerated for so long because the people still held to the romantic fairy tale of Queen Ella's rise and fall. Now he was gone. His mysterious absence neatly buried beneath the distracting return of the Queen, whole and healthy, ready to capture the hearts of the city. Queen Ella was Charming's miracle. The kingdom could not get enough of her. But Dennis had noticed that she did not sleep. She barely ate and drank. She twitched at every surprising noise. She was armed, always, even if you couldn't see the weapon at first glance. This was not the gentle fairy tale queen who fell into an enchanted slumber 17 years ago at the prick of a spinning wheel needle. She had come back damaged. No one talked about it. Not her staff or her children. Dennis knew better than to be the first. He knocked on the Queen's bedchamber door and waited. I hardly need the armed escort, Amira huffed beside him, tossing her dark bob of hair. The former Quill, with very few scruples, was enjoying her new role as Royal Press Secretary. Having been given the run of the castle, she had already discovered enough secrets to fuel the Charming Herald and other gazettes for years. So clearly, this was a job for life. They could never let her return to writing for newspapers. I'm not here for you, Dennis muttered. I'm the hound on Her Majesty's personal detail. Interesting, said Amira, with a sly look. You don't seem to end up on Prince Camden's detail all that often. Almost as if they're keeping you away from him deliberately. Dennis knocked again, waiting for the Queen's response. She liked to make her staff wait a few moments, as part of her ongoing pretense that she slept through the night and breakfasted like a normal person. You're not as funny as you think you are, Dennis told Amira. His relationship with Kai, recently revealed to be Prince Camden, was not exactly a secret, but they hadn't made a public announcement or anything, which was the sort of thing you had to think about, apparently, when your boyfriend turned out to be a long-lost royal. Whoever did the rosters on behalf of the Sarge's replacement was clearly aware of the connection. Please, Amira sniffed. I'm hilarious. The door swung open. Both Dennis and Amira straightened their backs. Queen Ella of Charming's presence encouraged good posture. She wore what Dennis thought of as her queen costumes. At first look, it was your standard aristo gown. Elegant, if matronly, pale cream with jewelled beading at the sleeves and collar, a silken belt that fell in an ornamental swoop around her hips, an antique sapphire necklace that wasn't too showy for wearing before lunchtime. Oh yes, my day sapphires in their modest silver setting. La, what an ordinary person I am. Queen Ella even wore a little lipstick today in a light shade, the same style that other married ladies of the local Aristo collective preferred. It was all part of her disguise. Dennis knew about the secrets layered within, the deep pockets that a seamstress added to every gown in the Queen's new wardrobe, the hidden weapons, at least three, always, the flat, sturdy boots which were concealed just beneath the long sweep of her skirt. Back when she was lost in that enchanted sleep, Queen Ella had been fighting for her life in an endless war against imaginary monsters for almost as long as Dennis himself had been alive. You didn't recover from an experience like that straight away, picking up your life where you left off. If battle changed a person, then 17 years of battle, it broke you, surely. This was another thing that no one ever talked about, inside or outside the castle. As usual, the Queen assessed Dennis in a brief glance, then ignored him entirely. Talk, she ordered Amira as she strode out along the corridor. It takes 4 minutes to get to the public gallery. What can you tell me on the way? Amira trotted along behind the taller Queen, doing her best to look dignified as she scurried to keep up. Despite our best efforts to quash the rumours, you can expect some questions about the whereabouts of King Iolcus and Princess Camilla. I have a few useful loudmouths stashed in the crowd to fill up as much time as possible with details about the Solstice Gala, but you'll have to be prepared. Of course I'm prepared, said the Queen. Princess Cyrus and Camden will attend you at the press conference. The Queen's head whipped around like she was about to stab a manticore. That wasn't an image produced by Dennis's imagination. He had heard a detailed anecdote illustrating exactly how good Queen Ella was at stabbing manticores. It wasn't a comfortable thing to hear about the mother of the man he loved. Good thing his common status made it very unlikely she'd ever be his mother-in-law, eh? Does Prince Chase have something better to do? Queen Ella demanded. Amira stumbled only slightly on her high heels. New policy. Last time all three princes appeared with you for a public statement, the monochromists had a field day with the pictures. Seeing the four of you united only reminds the public that, two of our family members are missing, the Queen said dryly. Yes, I understand. Divide and confuse. Amira continued to update the Queen as they swept down the wide staircase together. Dennis followed, eyes checking windows and doors of the less defensible space. Amira's voice grew quieter as they got closer to the public gallery and dropped into polite silence as they stepped into the private anteroom. The princes had clearly been here for a while. Prince Cyrus paced the small room, never one happy to sit still. Ziggy, the royal hound on his detail, glanced up and nodded a greeting at Dennis. On the far side of the room, Kai played a game of chess with Corporal Fergus. Something inside Dennis unfolded, as it always did. There was a constant tension in his stomach these days when he didn't have eyes on Kai. His boyfriend was a target now. Signing up as a hound to protect the royals from outside attack and their own worst personal choices had seemed a good career move once, before Dennis became this invested at a personal level. Now, his heart was on the line. Fergus was a good sort. Dennis liked him well enough, but that didn't mean he trusted him or literally anyone but himself to keep Kai safe. He knew that meant that he was the last person who should be doing this job. Sarge would probably have figured it out by now, might have done more than shake up a few rosters to remove Dennis from this conflict of interest, but Sarge was gone. Kai glanced up from his game to notice the presence of his mother, his former colleague from the newspaper office, and his boyfriend. A full 5 seconds after they arrived. No situational awareness at all. Kai's spine straightened because Queen Ella was there, but he still took the time to give Dennis a melting smile. Dennis wouldn't be applying for other jobs as long as this was something he could have every day. They would have to prize him out of the Royal Hounds with some kind of crowbar. "Let's get started," said the Queen, with an air of authority. And the day properly began. Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Twitter at TansyRR or at Sheep Might Fly. Find me on Facebook at TansyRR Books. And if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards, early ebooks, and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge, including, of course, the ebooks of the previous Castle Charming books. See you next week!